Hello, everybody. This is a special episode of Collector's Quest. This is a collector's edition. I was invited by the Dialogue Alley podcast to join them and talk about Harry Potter Funko Pops in specific. However, I know that not everybody collects Harry Potter Pops or Pops, so what I did is a primer to that to teach you a little bit about collecting Pops. It's not full in depth or anything. In fact, it's only like 13 minutes long. But I think it will do a good job informing you about how to collect Pops and also give you some groundwork if you want to go listen to that episode, which is at dialoguealley.com. You can also find it wherever podcasts are, and I'm going to put a link in the description here. So please listen to me over on the Dialogue Alley podcast, give them some support, and learn something about Pops. So you want to collect Funko Pops. That's awesome because I want to help you. So in this Pop Primer, I'm going to give you basic collecting info, tricks and tips, things to avoid, and in general, I'm going to level up your knowledge so you are a more informed collector. Before we go any further, I want to make sure you know your Funko, because Funko makes a lot of different products. So if you're out asking for a Pop for your birthday or Christmas or whatever, if you just shorten it to Funko, that can create a lot of confusion. While most Funkos are vinyls and a lot of people know Pops, people interchange this, but I'm going to give you a quick rundown so you don't wind up with stuff in your collection you don't want. Funko also makes things called sodas, mini moments, mystery minis, Pops, pop pins, snaps. They make shirts, blankets, bags, mugs, and even Pez dispensers. Funko uses its licenses very liberally across its many product lines, so be specific so you don't end up with a Harry Potter mini moment when what you wanted was a Pop. So why should you collect Pops? Well, that's really a personal question. I can give you some generals why it's a good collectible, but it's easier if I tell you why I collect Pops. The general stuff is they're pretty low in price, they're easy to obtain, they're relatively small in size, and you can add them to almost any shelf to give it a little dimension. Pops are also a collectible that has the potential to gain value, which is what a lot of people who collect look for. For me, I collect because they're fun, and the value doesn't really have much to do with it. What I like is that Pops exist for almost every property. If you're a fan of it, there's a Pop for it. And they don't just make Pops of the main character. They go deep on a property, bringing out a lot of the secondary and smaller characters. For me, I love this because that means when I'm creating a scene on my shelf, I'm not just stuck to the main characters. I've got some of my favorite secondary characters I can put along with them and create smaller moments from the things I like rather than just the big ones that are covered by all other collectibles. Now that I've covered why you might enjoy collecting Pops, let's get into what some of the hurdles are and some things you need to know. Collecting Pops seems pretty easy. If you're looking at the box, it usually has a number on it and stickers. This feels like it should tell you everything you need to know. Except these actually are points of confusion and make it more difficult in some cases to collect Pops. So I'm going to get into these aspects. Let's start with the number on the box. Seems like it should be pretty easy. Find out how many there are, look at the numbers, buy one of each number, you're good to go. But it just isn't that easy. These numbers are not consistent. When you have a big line of Pops like Harry Potter, which has over 150, you will see that the Pops start to appear in sub-themes. Why is that important? Because some of these sub-themes may have a numbering system that doesn't coincide with the main line. More on sub-themes later, but right now I want to get back to the numbers. I said the numbers are inconsistent, and that's true. It's not just that they cross into sub-themes. Some numbers repeat. So again, going back to Harry Potter, if you were looking at Harry Potter on Broom or Harry Potter with Hedwig, both of these are number 31. Oh, and if you go up to Pop 103 in Harry Potter, well, you can't, because there is no 103. But there are three at number 104. Pop numbering can be a mess, but they do help you track and purchase Pops. While we were just looking at the number in the upper right-hand corner of the box, I would like to draw your attention to the upper left-hand corner of the box. On most 4-inch Pops, it will just say Pop. This means it's part of the main line, the main theme Pop. However, as I mentioned before, there are sub-themes, and some of the bigger figures or figures that come with buildings or vehicles are part of these sub-themes. And in this upper left-hand corner, it will tell you what that theme is. If it comes with a vehicle, you'll see something that says Pop Rides, or Pop Town, or Pop Deluxe, or Pop Whatever. There are many different sub-themes, and this is the quickest way to identify if this particular Pop is in a sub-theme. But just because it's part of a sub-theme doesn't mean it's outside of the mainline numbering. which can be very confusing. So you'll have to do some research to figure out if that's the case. Quick note, I've been saying sub-theme because that's how I identified. If you're looking at a large line, these are sub-themes of it. But if you were to go to the POP website, these are called product types, which are identified in the upper left-hand corner. So that's just something to keep in mind. The last part of the box I want to take a look at is the sticker, or the lack thereof. It's real easy if a Funko doesn't have a sticker. This means it is not exclusive, it's common, and any store can carry it. These figures are normally inexpensive, unless they have been vaulted, which just means they've been retired and are no longer for sale. So now let's assume we're looking at a Funko box that does have a sticker. It might even have two. I'm going to run down some sticker types, but I'm definitely not going to cover all of them. Just know there are a lot of stickers that can get very confusing, and they also attribute a lot to the value of a pop. In many cases, collectors are collecting the sticker as much as they are collecting the Funko. So let's really pay attention to these. Let's start off with the chase sticker. A chase sticker means that this particular figure is a variant of another figure that shares the exact same number. There are many different types of variations. It could be a black and white version of a color figure. It could be a metallic version of that figure, a glow-in-the-dark version of the figure. The figure can have a different head. It can have a hat instead of no hat. There are lots of different variants that the chase can be. The chase sticker might also indicate the type of chase that it is. The sticker might say chase glow-in-the-dark or chase metallic. But it may also just have a sticker that says chase and then a smaller sticker off to the side that says glow-in-the-dark or diamond or invisible or metallic. The sticker itself and the combination of stickers can come in many variations. The next type of sticker I want to talk to you about is the retailer exclusive, also known as store exclusive, but that's not limited to just stores. It can also be for fairs, events, and conventions. Really, this sticker just means that the pop was exclusive to a place for a certain amount of time, and that place could be a physical location, a website, or a web event. There are a multitude of exclusive stickers. You will find them from Hot Topic, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Box Lunch, Pop in a Box, Geico, FunCon, Funko Fair, San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con. The list goes on and on and on and on. There's so many of these stickers, and there's variants within these stickers. Thankfully, the sticker usually tells you exactly what it is and where it came from. I want to give you a real quick example of a variant and why that variant occurs. Back in 2020, at the New York Comic Con, they had Funko exclusives. Knowing not everyone can make it to the con, Funko decided to sell some of them direct. This caused a variant in the sticker. Both stickers are primarily red, they have blue and white in them, but one says 2020 Fall Convention, that was the one sold through Funko, and it's got an image of the Statue of Liberty. The New York Comic Con one specifically states New York Comic Con Limited Edition. While the figures are exactly the same, any figure that has the actual Comic-Con sticker on it is worth more and more desired than the 2020 Fall Convention sticker, though the pops are identical. I hope you can see why these stickers can cause some confusion, but I want to illustrate one more sticker type, and it's the Special Edition. It's actually very similar to the Comic-Con 2020 Fall Convention stickers in its purpose. The Special Edition sticker is a round silver circle that says Special Edition, or the newer one is a Funko crown. This sticker is used for regions that do not have access to a convention or a specific store. So let's say a figure is exclusive to Hot Topic, but they don't have Hot Topic in Korea. The pop will be distributed with that silver special edition sticker. Many collectors hate this sticker. They want the retailer exclusive sticker. That one has more value. This is great for pop collectors who don't really care about stickers because this allows them to buy exclusive figures at a lower price. So now that you've heard about chase and exclusive pops, and even the common ones, you want to know how, when, and where to buy them. The best way to get all of this information is to have a source. Pops are a dynamic collectible. The value is built on scarcity, exclusivity, the narcissism of minor differences, and FOMO. So having the right source to tell you when and where these are coming out will make you a more successful collector. My recommendation is to find someone on YouTube or Instagram to follow, though private Discords are also great for this. You have a lot of options when you're choosing someone, so make sure they're credible and they're producing new content on a regular basis. You have a good source, you know what an exclusive is, you know what a chase is, and now you have to do the buying. Where can you buy pops? The answer to that is lots of places. But here's a list of a few places especially good for buying new pops. Funko.com, Amazon, Target, GameStop, Walmart, Hot Topic, Box Lunch, Barnes & Noble, Pop in a Box, FYE, and Entertainment Earth. It's important to know which stores sell pops because a lot of these stores get exclusives. For the commons, it doesn't really matter where you shop. I would price check all of these stores and find the one that currently has the best deal. I mentioned exclusives, and these are the ones you really need to look out for. Exclusives can feel like they come from almost anywhere, but they most definitely come from all of the stores that carry a lot of Pops. Another good place you can find Pops is the secondary market. But when is it best to use the secondary market? The best times to use it are to find Pops that have been vaulted. These are your standard Pops that have just been retired. Used Pops if you're looking to buy a collection. And Pops you may have missed out on in other ways. Convention exclusives, Chase, etc. If you're curious what the secondary market sites are, these include places like eBay, Mercari, Facebook Marketplace, Whatnot, flea markets, garage sales, basically anything that isn't a retail chain. How do you get the most bang for your buck? How do you find a deal? Well, this can be tricky. People selling collections is a great way to get into pop collecting on the cheap. If you want to buy new Pops, I recommend you look for sales on Amazon or Target. Target always has these toy offers, which normally cover Pops. Amazon is constantly adjusting its prices. Convention exclusives a lot of times have a partner store. So if you can't make it to the convention, a lot of times a place like Target or Barnes & Noble will also have that Pop on its website. Getting them before they're sold out can go a long way of easing the pain you have to pay on the secondary market. Though, it has to be said, not all exclusives or chases gain value. Fakes, frauds, and counterfeits. Since we've just been talking about the value of Pops, it's a good time to warn you. Fake Pops exist. It can be very challenging to spot them too. If a Pop is very expensive, someone has probably created a fake one. People also have created fake stickers and boxes. Another crummy thing people do is try to take the sticker off of a less valuable box and place it on another box to increase its value. So how do we spot a fake? For that, I would turn to YouTube and other experts. The tells for a fake Pop or fake box or sticker is usually very specific to the Pop that is being faked. A good way to avoid buying a fake is to always buy through official channels and only go to the secondary market when absolutely necessary. If you are shopping on eBay and a Pop is coming from China, you probably should not buy this Pop. Another important way to avoid buying fakes is knowing the general value of a Pop. If a $300 Pop is going for $50, it's probably fake. Too good to be true normally is. So I said maybe don't go to secondary markets. Does this mean that the secondary market isn't safe? Well, yes and no. There are plenty of great sellers who are not trying to rip you off. But there are a few bad apples, and they prey on the uninformed. eBay and Mercari are great because of the buyer protection in place, but not all secondary markets have that. Buyer protection also doesn't matter if you can't spot a fake when you get one. It is critical you do your homework if you are buying an expensive Pop. How you pay is also important. Remember to only buy from the secondary market using protected pay sources, like PayPal goods and service only. I do not recommend using Zelle or Venmo for these transactions. Sellers love these apps because of the lack of fees and may pressure you towards those. But remember, as a buyer, you have nothing to fall back on if you use one of these unprotected payment methods. So you're about to spend a bunch of money on Pops, but you want to know what their value is and make sure you're not getting ripped off. And when you buy them, you want to be able to track them. So where do you go? The best place to look for value is probably eBay sold listings because they are up to date and it's the agreed market price. But there are also websites and apps dedicated to tracking the value of Pops, like poppriceguide.com. They also have an app. You can also use the official Funko app. The big thing to look out for on these websites and apps is that they are up to date and still being updated. It sucks pretty hard to find a site or app you like only to realize they stopped working on it 6 months ago and all the hard work you just did is now worthless. My final tip and a really easy win is if you love your Pops and you want to protect them and you want them to keep their value, please buy a box protector. These are inexpensive plastic shells that will defend your Pop from your clumsy human hands. I'm telling you, it's super easy. Go to any website. There's lots of them that sell them. I have a friend, collectorprotector.com. That starts with a K. He's got all the oddball sizes as well as standard. But I don't care if you go to him. Go to anybody. Literally anyone. Spend the extra dollar or two, especially if you have an exclusive or a chase that's valuable, and just put it in a box protector. I can't tell you how many times I've watched YouTubers where this is their profession, and they keep dropping them. Don't do this. I'm begging you. Buy a box protector. If you love it, protect it. And with that, I think that's all of the tips. I hope that was informative. I hope you learned something. Thanks so much for listening.